This is the Drive and Dish Podcast.
Part of the 16 Wins a Ring Network.
Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy.
We hadn't even started yet!
To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
Part of what makes him such a good defender is his ability to switch, his ability to contest that three-point shot even when he is 7 feet away from it to run out and close out on the shooter.
Kevin Rayfuse.
If Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double for the season and his team makes the playoffs, I don't know how it can be anyone other than him.
And Justin Kuzak.
I know, I just feel like they got this guy and he's just been injured since. Like, I'm curious to see how they work him into lineups. Like, they've gotten so used to not having him. Like, how do they end up using him?
The Drive and Dish Podcast.
We start right now.
So we have an Oklahoma City Thunder interview coming up. We have somebody that I've listened to for a long time, Andrew Schlecht of the Down to Dunk podcast with the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. And Jess and I were getting ready to do this interview and we're thinking, well, we have about 7 or 8 minutes to spare right here. Why don't we do an intro? Because we know that this is going to be a little bit shorter of an episode. So I hop on Real GM. The headline at the very top of the page, the first story they have up is Lance Stephenson has agreed to a deal with the Pacers. And I thought at first, I was like, you know what? Through the end of the season, I feel like he was just hurt with the Timberwolves. Everywhere he goes, he suffers some sort of minor injury and he just hasn't been able to really stick recently, especially. And so I open up the article and it says that he has signed for a 3-year deal. And the part that I found surprising the most, Justin, was that it was a player option for year 3, not a team option, but a player option.
Right?
Because what?
Because he needs that option, right? Like, why didn't the Pacers have leverage in this?
Right.
I actually got the Woj. I don't know if you'd consider it a bomb, but I got the Woj tweet or retweet, I guess it was, that they waived Ronnie Stuckey because he got injured to bring in Lance Stephenson, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, it's one of those things you go, but it's like you're in a relationship with someone for so long and it's going so well. And then you both decide you're going to break up. And then you both realize, oh, we both are terrible with that, or we're both so miserable without each other. And then you go back and give it a try and you realize, oh, this is why we broke up. But now the Pacers are going to have to deal with that for 3 years.
There had to have been some workings from within the organization. You would have to imagine, because so the Pacers are going into this offseason. They actually have a bit of cap space. I'm not sure how much he signed for, so I can't speak to the accuracy of how much cap space they're going to have after signing him. But one of the things everyone keeps talking about is, look, Paul George wants out of here, and that a big decision for Paul George was sticking with the Pacers is going to depend on how they spend that money.
And then literally the same day they go, this is how we're going to spend the money. We're going to sign Lance Stephenson to a 3-year deal. Remember how good he was?
You have to think that Paul George had a hand in this, right?
Has Paul George seen Lance Stephenson's game in the past 2 years?
I mean, what if they're buddies?
I'm sorry. You can be best friends, but I saw your game. It's not going to... Paul George wants to win. Like, that's not going to help the winning. He makes comments all the time about how, like, the Pacers just aren't aggressive enough, aren't this enough, aren't that enough. And, like, I mean, yeah, Lance Stephenson's aggressive.
What if it's one of those things where you always remember the past fondly, right? When you look back at a crap relationship, you tend to remember all of the good things. What if Paul George is looking back at his years with the Pacers and he's thinking, you know what? When we had Lance Stephenson, we were at our best.
I mean, they were at their best at that point. I don't know. I mean, but that's the thing is, like, I don't want to take away from Lance Stephenson. Like, he was having amazing games when he was with them. Like, he was so good. He was like the LeBron James stopper. It really went downhill for him.
How do you think the fans are going to take it when he first steps onto the court as a Indiana Pacer?
I don't know. I literally don't know how to expect them to react to this.
Oh, we have to find out. Pacers Reddit. Okay, this. If you ever want real fans, well, if you ever want some fans' opinions, Kyle Rayner got swag, said, you know what, I effing like it. It's a risk for sure, but considering the cap, it's a small one. Paul George and Lance got along really well. Lance, make him dance. That was from Ball Mode.
Come on. Like, are we really going to be surprised he's not excited?
J.A.S. Jack said, actually could be a good idea that we paid him so much relative to his market value. So if you're a Pacers fan, according to Pacers Reddit, you love this.
that's just so weird to me. No part of me is like, okay, good, Lance Stephenson's back. We have hope. I mean, I'm not trying to shit on the Pacers. I'm just saying it doesn't give me hope. Although I guess, I mean, really, what are the Pacers? I mean, all you're trying to do, like you said, is bring back Paul George. So if Paul George wanted it, make it happen.
And you are listening to the Drive Edish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzart, Kevin Rayfuse. He's not with us this week, but coming up, joining us on the episode, we do have an interview. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder with Andrew Schlecht from Down to Dunk podcast.
And one of the things we do before we do talk to any writers for any specific team is we'll put up a post about who we're going to talk to, asking for your questions. So if you have an NBA team that you want us to make sure we get some questions answered, you can follow us on all things social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and just look for those posts and comment your question, and we'll get it answered.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first up this week in news, the Warriors, Kevin Durant doing non-contact drills right now and could be back before the end of the regular season. The Dubs targeting a three-game homestand to end the year for KD to make his return. Speaking of the Warriors, Steve Kerr got his 200th win the other night. He hit that mark faster than any other coach in NBA history. It's a reunion, the Indiana Pacers signing Lance Stephenson to a three-year, $12 million deal. This as they battle a number of injuries, which led them to waive Rodney Stuckey the other day. Stephenson is eligible to play in the playoffs. Knicks center Joakim Noah has been cleared to play, meaning he will start his 20-game suspension for violating the league's drug policy. The Wizards winning the Southeast Division with their win last night. It's the first division crown for the franchise since 1979. The 38-year division title drought was the longest in American sports. And Lamar Odom speaking about his cocaine overdose for the first time in depth, saying he's a walking miracle after being found unconscious while overdosing in a Nevada brothel. And that's this week's news.
Something.
So this is the part of the show where we want to tell you about one of our awesome sponsors, and that is SeatGeek, the smartest way to find tickets for the basketball games you want to see live and up close this season. There's nothing like being in the building for the biggest games of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. So I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's free for any iPhone or Android or any other smartphone you may have. It's by far the easiest way to buy basketball tickets, and with just a few taps, you can find seats for maybe a game this weekend or really any game for the rest of the season, then you know you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. So prices could vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. Every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. So if it's green, you know you're getting the best value. If it's red, maybe not the best value. And every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. So you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. No hidden fees at the end. The price you pay is the price you're getting. And best off, any Drive and Dish listener gets a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So what you got to do, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter our promo code DISH, like the dish you eat on, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first purchase. Again, it's real easy. Tim, Justin, and I have all done it. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code DISH today.
You are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzart, no Kevin Rayfuse today, but that is okay because we are joined for the very first time on the podcast, and it's hard to believe, Andrew Schlecht from the Down to Dunk podcast and the Almighty Baller podcast network. Mr. Andrew, thank you and welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the season, you know, we are, what, about 10, 11 games out from the season. And I feel like I was thinking about it earlier today. And, you know, I feel like I really went into this NBA season thinking that this was going to be really uncompelling the whole time. We were just going to be talking about how the Warriors were running away with it. Could the Cavs compete? That was going to be the only storyline of the season. But I feel like it's been a really compelling NBA season across the board. As a Thunder fan, how has it been for you guys and the Russell Westbrook show?
Russ has been incredible. He's kind of taken on the personality, or I guess even the fan base has taken on his personality, because he has always had such a chip on his shoulder. And the Thunder, like, we've been super blessed to have this team. We've gotten started out the team with Kevin Durant, then Russell Westbrook, then James Harden. I mean, it's always been really good here. We've had injuries and stuff like that have kept them from winning a championship, but like, things have always been great. So now, like, with Kevin Durant leaving, we've really taken on the personality of Russell Westbrook, where we have a the chip on our shoulder. We want to just destroy people. And he goes out and he does that every night, 37 triple doubles, kind of showing that. So it's been good. I think that it's been better than what people expected. Their expected win loss was 39 and 34 at this point. They're 42 and 31. So they're exceeding expectations. And it's been a fine season, and we're just, the fan base is just adjusting to being an okay NBA team, which can be frustrating at times, but it's been kind of best case scenario for this particular team.
Just kind of looking towards the playoffs, my main question is, well, right now they're sitting at the sixth seed above the Grizzlies by, it looks like, two games, behind the Clippers by two games. Are you guys concerned about any specific teams that you may face in the first round? If you could pick one of the teams that they'd have to play in the playoffs, who would be the one that you'd want to single out?
I think that the Thunder match up the best with the Utah Jazz, just because the Houston Rockets can go small like they did on Sunday, and the Thunder just don't have the guys to do that. But when you can stay big, which the Jazz like to do, that's really beneficial to the Thunder, because then they can play their best players more. Even against the Mavericks, like, the Thunder closed the game with Taj Gibson and Grant at the big spots, and you have two of your best players sitting on the bench. I mean, that's just not ideal for this Thunder team. But when you're playing the Jazz, they like to play big. They like to play slower, which is helpful to the Thunder. And the Thunder beat them in the season series. I think the Rockets just have way too much firepower, and the Thunder are just too inconsistent defending the perimeter. So I think that definitely the Jazz are the team that the Thunder would like to get. And with the Clippers playing so bad and things being so weird in Clipperland right now, it's possible. And the Thunder schedule is pretty soft. I know the Clippers is too, but the Clippers just lost to the Kings. So who knows?
Yeah, right. I know how important it is for the Thunder to try and move up out of that sixth seed. So if the playoffs were to happen today, they're looking at a matchup with the Rockets, and the Rockets have been, at the very beginning of the season, I kind of thought it was a blip on the radar. I spent some more time watching them, and the Rockets look like a real deal. If you're OKC and you're going into a matchup, the first game was a bit more competitive than this last game was, even though they were able to close it out a little bit in the end. Is there any chance or anything that the Thunder can do to escape a first round matchup to actually win that series against the Rockets? Should that happen?
Probably not. I mean, they've got to dictate pace, and they've got to, they just have to be really assertive, and it's got to be everybody else stepping up. Victor Oladipo would have to have a huge series. Steven Adams would have to look a lot better than he has lately. I don't see it. I think they can maybe push them to six games. I think the Thunder could win at home. They pushed the Rockets in all the other three games that they played. They were really close, except for this last one. But again, the firepower of the Rockets, the Thunder needing another guard, like, they really, really need another guard that can play. And they just don't, he's not on the roster right now. So I think that it's going to be tough. And they played him without Ryan Anderson, too, who should be back for the playoffs. So I don't see it. I would love for Russ to beat James Harden, obviously, in a one-on-one matchup. But the Thunder just are not as good as the Rockets. I think the Thunder have talent, but as far as a head-to-head matchup, I mean, the Thunder just, they have talent on their team, but the talent doesn't fit, and it certainly doesn't fit with a matchup against the Rockets.
Well, and you alluded to Westbrook and Harden matchup, and until the last game, I was going to say it definitely seemed like Westbrook would always get the best of Harden. Harden would never have, like, the huge flashy numbers when it seemed like they would meet up. And you also pointed out that they need another guard, and I was looking at it because it was baffling to me that the Thunder are 23rd in the league for assists per game when you have Westbrook, who's averaging over 10, but then you look at the rest of the team and no one has more than like 2.5. I think Victor Oladipo is at 2.5. So is that something you think they would address in the offseason, during the draft or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to. I mean, they have one facilitator on their team. Vic can be sometimes. They really haven't put him in situations to do that. I think that he can do a lot more than what he's being asked to. But then you look at the rest of the guys. I mean, like, Steven Adams is probably your third best facilitator, which isn't great. Victor Oladipo, obviously. And then Cantor has become a better passer. I know his assists, like, he's averaging one assist a game, but, like, he was like a non-passer when he came to the Thunder. So, I mean, that's something. But I mean, they need to get another guard that can come in and relieve Westbrook and also run an offense. Because right now they have Samaj Christian coming in, and he is terrible. Like, he is barely an NBA player. He played 20 minutes the other night, and I'm just baffled by it. Like, I just don't get it. So, yeah, they've got to address that. They've got to – I mean, Russ's usage rate is through the roof because the Thunder have – nobody else that can do this. And people want to like rag on Russ because he's padding his stats. Actually, he's not really padding his stats. He just has to do everything. Like, he just
has to.
There's
no other option.
No.
So speaking of Victor Oladipo, the first year, you know, with the team in full, and what have been your thoughts on how he's been used, how he's played? You know, it seems like there could be, because of how badly the Oklahoma City Thunder really need that second guard to step up, that it seems like possibly Victor Oladipo hasn't been used properly. But, you know, I haven't watched really enough Thunder to accurately make that statement.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good. I mean, I don't want to trash Victor Oladipo for any reason at all. I mean, he's been a better three-point shooter than he has in his whole career. He's 38% from three on the season, which is really impressive. But I guess like kind of my comp of how they've used him, they've used him a lot. Like the Hawks use Kent Bazemore, where he's this like 3-and-D guy, which is great. The Thunder have needed 3-and-D guys for a long time. And I think they're kind of using him the way that they would have used him had Kevin Durant still been on the team. But Kevin Durant's not on the team, and they need somebody that can come in and handle the ball and run a pick and roll effectively. And I think Vic can do that. You know, last season he was at 4 assists a game. He's at 2.5 this season. You think he would have the opportunity to do that in Oklahoma City, but I think that's something that he's going to develop. But I think he's been really solid, but my expectations are a little bit higher for him. And the two things that are keeping him from being like that second star or being a second star in general for any team is that his free throw rate is incredibly low. And his assist rate is also really low, like embarrassingly low in both of those categories. If he can improve in those two, which he still can, I mean, he's 24 years old. It's not like he's like hit his peak, but he's going to have to, you know, learn to take contact, getting to the rim. Then he's going to have to start dishing out assists if he's going to reach that second level. But he's good. Like, he's a very good player. He plays really good on ball defense. He shoots the ball well. He has a really good mid-range jump shot. He's been fine, but he's definitely not on the tier of the guys that some people would have expected him to be. Like, he's not a fringe all-star. He's just a solid role player at this point.
I always thought it was kind of weird when they first got him, because I was worried that him and Westbrook kind of played too much of a similar game. Mm-hmm. They both like to drive the lane, so it was kind of easy to guard. But two players you guys picked up during the trade deadline, Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott. How are you feeling about those guys coming to the team? A lot of people thinking Doug McDermott was going to be the perfect fit because of his shooting ability and the team not really having much of a shooting ability. How are they integrating into the team, I guess, 16 games in at this point?
Man, so Taj Gibson is clearly the best player that they got in that trade. I still can't believe the trade that Sam Presti made. I don't know how he got the second rounder back from the Bulls. I mean, it just makes no sense. I mean, they basically traded away three guys that are like fringe NBA players, and Joffrey, Anthony Morrow, and Campaign. I mean, Campaign, I don't know if people know this, but he's like, I think he's the worst guard in offensive RPM this season. Like, the very worst point guard. I mean, he's had two stints in the D League already being with the Bulls. I don't know how Sam Presti did this, but he did, and he got two quality NBA players back, one in Taj Gibson. When Taj has been in the starting lineup, the Thunder are a plus 20 with that unit, which is pretty crazy. He's really good. He can guard the perimeter. He's a pretty good rim defender. He can score a little bit in spots. He can hit that mid-range jumper, score on the block a little bit. He's been great. McDermott's a work in progress. He's a good shooter. He can score the ball a little bit. He can drive a little bit. But he, as a defender, I mean, he looked so lost on Sunday against the Rockets. He played 4 minutes, and he looked like he had no clue what he was doing on the defensive end. When it comes to just like on-ball defense, he's fine. But when it's you know, off ball, or if he's trying to get help, or if he's helping the helper. I mean, you might as well just give layups, because he just can't do it. So he's got a ways to go before he's like a really key contributor, just because of the defensive end.
I know that this episode is a little bit shorter than really anyone listening hoped that it would be. And I want to make sure that we get in a couple of Facebook questions from our listeners on Facebook at Drive and Dish NBA. Santiago asks, how does OKC this strategy in the next season? Will it be Westbrook carrying them again?
You know, it just all depends on what they can do this offseason. I mean, of course, they would love to go get a second star. But there are a lot of teams that are in the bidding for a second star. The Thunder have been after Jimmy Butler for a while, and they haven't been able to pull off a deal. They were really pushing for Jimmy Butler at the draft. Clearly, the Bulls weren't willing to deal him then. The Thunder would love to have him. They would also love to have a guy like Paul George. But the thing is that the Thunder are not at the front of that line, and they haven't been. The front of the line is the Boston Celtics. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. These teams with all these assets. And the Thunder, they have players that are good. They have good young players. They have a ton of players under 25. If that's what teams want, the Thunder can offer that. But if they can't get that guy, then they're going to be running it back. I think that you could see Enes Kanter dealt at the draft, maybe to get a wing back, or to get, you know, a higher draft pick. I think that that's possible. But as of now, it's just going to be internal growth, which the Thunder have done really well with in their short NBA history. But they're going to rely on, you know, Domantas Sabonis being a lot better, Alex Abrines being a lot better, Steven Adams improving, Victor Oladipo improving. So I think that the load will be lighter just because of that. But when it comes to, like, getting another player in, that's incredibly hard to predict. And I wouldn't count on another one of those players coming next season.
Well, and so we're talking about you know, next season, and a lot of people, two people actually on our Facebook, Nathan and Mark, both mentioned Blake Griffin. So I bring up the question, well, it's kind of a two-part question. Do you think they want to target Blake Griffin? I know you were talking about how they kind of need another point guard, or another guard that can kind of facilitate the offense or run it when Westbrook needs a break, or can be side to side with him. So do you think they go for someone like Blake? And then my question, because I'm a huge fan of Roberson, do you think they bring Roberson back as well?
So Blake, I don't think Blake wants to come to Oklahoma City. I don't think that he wants to play at home. I don't have any sources or anything like that, but I just don't see that happening. The Thunder don't have cap space. They would have to deal a bunch of guys. They'd have to let Roberson walk. They'd have to deal away Kanter. They'd have to probably deal away another guy for basically nothing, or like a second round pick, in order just to absorb him. And I think the Thunder would be better for it, at least for one season. But when you bring in Blake Griffin, if you're going to sign him to like that, you know, 4 year max,
yeah,
what does year four look like for him? I don't know. And he has been injured. I mean, I think that if the Thunder had a chance to get him, I think they should, just because I think if you have a chance to bring in that kind of talent, you do. But it's a big risk. But I also just, I mean, I think there's maybe like a 0.5% of something like that happening. I just don't see it. But then Roberson, oh man, I'm a big Andre Roberson backer, but it just really depends. Is one team out there? It takes one team to give Solomon Hill a stupid deal. It's going to take one team to give Andre Roberson a stupid deal. If someone comes to him and says, we'll give you 4 years, $60 million, the Thunder are going to have to say, no way, dude, like, good luck. Cause they cannot pay him that kind of deal. If it's like 4 for 48 or 4 for 40, then yeah, I think the Thunder bring him back. But anything that's really above that, like $12 million, I just think that the Thunder would be a tax team at that point. And are you going to be a tax team? Like, are you content being a tax team that's the fifth seed, and Andre Roberson's the guy that's bringing you into the tax? If I'm the owner, I say, no way. Like, we can figure something else out. But he's good. Like, Andre Roberson's very good. He's an elite defender. But his offensive game is non-existent. He'll have good games here and there. But, I mean, the guy bricks free throws, like, regularly. I mean, he just cannot put the ball in the hole. So I think $12 million or less would be great for him. So
Yeah, I was going to say it's funny because Roberson's defense is so good, but it's so I think it's only so noticeable that he lacks in the offensive side because the Thunder needs somebody else to step up and it just shows that he can't do it offensively. But on another mm-hmm. team that doesn't need the offense, he would fit in perfectly, something like that.
Right. Like a team with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant would be a team that he could fit on. I mean, right. when people analyze this team, like, you have to understand that this team is not built for just Russell Westbrook. This team is built for Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. That's the way they designed the team. This team was also supposed to have Al Horford on the team starting at the four. Like, this is not the team they want. This is not the team they designed it to be. Everything right now is on the fly. Russell Westbrook is doing incredible things on a team that's not designed for him to, you know, be the best he can. This team is designed to have, you know, Kevin Durant and Al Horford on it, not the other way. So I think that a lot of that gets lost when we're evaluating the Thunder.
And our guest today is Andrew Schlecht from the Down to Dunk podcast and the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Andrew, before we get you out of here, we always want to end the interview with a little bit of a lighter question. And my question to you is, on the Down to Dunk podcast, at the very beginning, before the intro music starts, you have Cantor and Adams talking and they do a little intro about the show. How did you get them to do that?
Oh, man, this was one of the greatest days of my life. So I'm at Thunder Media Day, and my goal was to get Steven Adams to do the intro for us. And so after he does his interview, I step out in the hallway, and I'm sitting there talking to Royce Young and a few other Thunder writers, and we're hanging out, and he walks by. And so I just grab him by the jersey, and I'm like, yes, you have to do this for me. I want you to do an intro for a podcast. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. Will you be willing to do it? And he's like, yeah. And then Enes Kanter comes walking down the hallway and he grabs Enes and he says, hey, you're going to do this with me. And I said, yeah, yes, you are. You're going to do this with him. And so then just magic happens. I mean, I just told him to say, you know, your names, and then you're listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. And then just pure glory just emerged out of that.
That's awesome.
Well, I can't wait to listen to the Down to Dunk podcast, especially through the rest of the season, but into the postseason and into the summer. Andrew Schlecht from the Down to Dunk podcast, thank you so much for coming on to the Drive and Dish. And I hope to have you on once we actually start getting into the first rounds of the playoffs.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
Be a star side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Pigeon hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.